107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. One day after President Biden issued a joint statement calling on ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas to resume, the Israeli military struck a school in Gaza City, and the Hamas-controlled Gaza government says at least 85 people were killed. Israel says Hamas was operating a command center from the school and that it used precision munitions, but ABC's Tom Sufi Burge in Tel Aviv says...
This morning, Egypt reacting to the attack on that school, accusing Israel of the, quote, deliberate killing of huge numbers of unarmed civilians, saying it was evidence of a lack of political will on the Israeli side to end the war.
Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning in Arizona called for a ceasefire. She and running mate Tim Walz will be in Nevada today. Former President Trump was in Montana last night. Debbie and its remnants have finally left the U.S., but the final blow, flash flooding in New York State caused by heavy rain. There are more than 40,000 power outages in the state. This is ABC News. As school resumes for much of the country, so does the debate over student cell phones as more schools ban them during school hours.
At two high schools in Concord, California, the school year is beginning with a big new rule, no cell phones. Students have to put their phones in sealed pouches each morning and can't get them back until the end of the day. Nikki Klasinski isn't totally on board.
We can't unlock it at all. We can't have it during lunch.
Studies show when cell phones are banned in classes, test scores go up and bullying and anxiety go down, but some parents argue they want to be able to reach their child during an emergency. Alex Stone, ABC News.
The annual Florida Python Challenge is underway. It's the second day of the 10-day event where hunters go into the Everglades looking for invasive Burmese pythons. The state offers a total of $30,000 in prizes. Goal is to remove the pythons while educating the public about the dangers they pose to Florida's ecosystem. More than 600 people registered. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Brandi Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There are new standards for livestock to be USDA certified organic, but as Deborah Van Fleet reports, it'll be a while before they're required.
Those raising livestock will have to observe the new standards by January 2029 at the latest. Sentient Science reporter Seth Milstein says some of the changes under the new standards may surprise shoppers who choose certified organic meat and poultry out of concern for the animals.
There were various procedures that were just flat out banned in the new standards. Tail docking of cows and gestation crates and farrowing cages for pigs or toe clipping chickens. This is stuff that animal welfare activists have been pushing for a while.
Milstein stresses these standards affect only producers with a USDA organic certification, which is voluntary. Among the categories are the amount of indoor and outdoor space required, poultry stocking densities, and physical alterations and euthanasia. Milstein maintains that certifications by the nonprofits A Greener World and Certified Humane reveal more about how the animals were raised than the USDA certification.
If you want to shop consciously with a mind towards animal welfare approved is generally recognized as the most stringent, the highest standards for the animals. Certified Humane is good as well. It's not quite as good, but good.
Milstein says labels can be confusing and even misleading and encourages people who rely on them to do some research. He points to egg labels as a prime example.
Interesting case is pasture raised, which has no legal regulations and essentially means nothing except If it says certified humane pasture raised, that's a very high standard. Cage-free eggs, there's like three different certifications for that.
I'm Deborah Van Fleet. This story was produced with original reporting by Seth Milstein for Sentient Media.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 70s, mostly clear, low 50s tonight. Sunshine, 76 for your Sunday. For Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low around 55. Partly sunny, back to the upper 70s on Monday and near 80 on Tuesday.
Right now, it's 49.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Monday, we'll check in with one of our favorites, Brittany Merlot. She'll take a look at the forecast for the week ahead. Plus, Mario Gonzalez from Wello stops by. See you then.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut deeper.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by our supporters on Patreon at Native Roots Radio Network.
Hey, I woke up, I do my early morning walk, and my phone started blowing up about 7:30, and I also saw the night before that the Secret Service were driving into Governor Walz's house, which is down the block from me on River Boulevard now, because he's staying not at the mansion on Summit, but he's at the University of Minnesota's president's house, and that's where we went and hung out with him, Haley, when we were doing the Christmas media party with the governor and lieutenant governor.
Right. Yeah. Do you want to tell everyone the big news?
Well, I think they already know.
Oh, for listeners? Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think they already know that my daughter had twins. No, I'm just kidding. But that's one of the things, too. But also, you know, our friend Governor Walz is a VP candidate with VP Harris, and we are really excited. And now, you know, we probably won't have the governor on again in a long time because he'll be too big for our little station. But we've had the governor of Minnesota on many times, and I know, Haley, you were really impressed that he knew my first and last name and shook my hand when he first started working with us.
Right.
All right. Hey, we have our friend Ruth Buffalo with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and our weekly guest here. And we're just really excited here. It's like, I don't know, do we celebrate Christmas? It's like Christmas again here after first Harris and now our friend Governor Walz. And that means a lot of different ramifications here in Minnesota. Welcome, Ruth.
Yes, Dosha. Hello, and Madzigadads. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so where were you when you heard the news?
I was here at work. But yeah, I had been following things, and I think it's pretty exciting to see. But yes, I was at my desk. My phone also went off and also sent sent some text messages and then saw official announcement. So pretty neat.
Definitely. And then possibilities are unbelievable here. We have the possibility, if Vice President Harris is elected president, then we have an opening that will be quickly picked up by the lieutenant governor to become a governor of the state of Minnesota. There's just a lot of moving parts here. I'm like getting dizzy.
For sure. I mean, that's super exciting. And that's what many of us sort of picked up on when we had heard about, you know, the different options and that Governor Tim Walz's name was thrown in the hat. And then when we were, you know, when you kind of connect the dots and be like, well, you know, oh, what? Yeah. You know, so it's exciting for sure. I mean, because that, so, and I think it was a very good choice and very good strategically because the Native vote is huge. And we know, you know, so people, you know, putting, connecting the dots and seeing that Lieutenant Peggy Flanagan could move into the governorship position is huge. And that'll garner, you know, so yes, very strategic, good on them to do that, especially in these times.
Yeah, good medicine, and really excited. I just, you know, Governor Walz was a high school teacher like myself, but I didn't make it that far. I don't think I made sergeant in the police patrol, and that's about as far as I got politically. And then he was our congressman for 12 years and then our governor. And what was exciting, Ruth, is that, you know, with the lieutenant governor and governor has been a partnership here in Minnesota, unlike any, you know, years ago, I couldn't even tell you who the lieutenant governor was. And our lieutenant governor is very visible and very a part of decision making. And it has been a partnership. And they opened up at the Indian Center and announced Walz's candidacy along with, at the time, Representative Flanagan. And the first place they went was the Indian Center in Minneapolis. It's just amazing.
That is really amazing to do that. You know, it's amazing. I mean, I think of the some of the clips and videos that have been circulating through social media regarding, you know, representation and how important that is to see someone, you know, in a decision-making space that looks like you or looks like someone you love. You know, I think Christina Haswood is the first Indigenous woman running who could potentially win a state Senate seat after today's primary in Lawrence, Kansas. And she's a TikTok star. I think she was, you know, featured in the New York Times, but young woman from Lawrence, Kansas, Haskell, Indian Nations alumni, but she has a really catchy photo or video clip that I saw recently. But that's what came to mind when you shared that the governor, or, you know, before Governor Tim Walz became the governor of Minnesota, how he went to the Indian Center with then Representative Peggy Flanagan. That's super cool to see. To see the Native community embraced in that way is huge. And yeah, I remember him coming to North Dakota. He came to Fargo last fall to one of our events that we held there because I was pretty active in our state party. And I'm also finishing out a term there, an obligation, a four-year term as North Dakota's DNC committee woman, so juggling a lot, but also cognizant of my different roles and wanted to be respectful of those too. But yeah, it was a good experience to see things at a national level, being the DNC committee woman for North Dakota these past 4 years, and seeing what a strong powerhouse that is here in Minnesota. You know, always making reference to, you know, the Wellstones and everything there. And I remember, gosh, back in the day, I think after I ran for office, statewide office in 2016, I ran for insurance commissioner and still felt motivated to try to find ways to get involved because it was so refreshing to like meet so many people across the state of North Dakota who never spoke to a candidate before or had anybody really give them the attention. And so I was super motivated, even though I didn't win that election. And I was doing some research online and came across the Wellstone Action. Back then they were hosting, I think it was called Roots Camp, the Unconference it was called, and it was in DC and it was at the end of November. So I went out there and came across Peggy, and she invited me to sit on a panel with her. And so she's just been amazing. I remember first meeting her when I was with the Native Nations Rebuilders program through the Bush Foundation, and she came in and led a session on community organizing. And that was when I was at United Tribes Technical College. So super cool to see her progress throughout her political career, and definitely support her 100%.
All right. Hey, well, we're over ecstatic here. We're our minds are blown, but let's swing back when we come back with Ruth Buffalo and talk about what's happening at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin Chairs Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Lake Air is looking for a sports play-by-play announcer. Lake Air will soon be your home for Amory Sports, starting with football this fall. If you love sports and have always dreamed of being part of a broadcast team, this is your chance. Here's an opportunity to make some extra money and enjoy the sports you love. Give us a call at 715-733-0539 or email info@lakeair.radio. Lake Air WLAK, hometown radio refreshed. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minnesota. And let's switch gears here, and we're really excited to talk about what's happening. You know, what's new at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? We saw today that some went to the Como Zoo.
Yes, our Family Services ICWA Kinship Care Workers host a monthly caregiver support group and decided to have an outing, you know, off-site, and so it worked out good. We had to reschedule there or kind of adjust to the rainy day there a couple days ago, but yeah, it's going good, and lots of things kind of cooking. You know, we have a women's luncheon that'll be this Thursday. We want to host those bi-weekly, just a time to come together and bring food and conversation and laughter. And then we are hosting a ceremony, finishing ceremony with an elder woman from Canada. And so, yeah, we have Sweat Lodge at the end of the month, a co-ed sweat, August 30th in St. Paul. And we realize that not everybody uses Facebook or Instagram. So we're trying to make sure we have all of our our updates on the website. We also have new board members, so those updates are on the website as well. Our monthly community meeting will be August 20th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And we're also gearing up for our 40th anniversary of MIWRC, which is September 16th. We also have a benefit concert that will be either the weekend prior to September 16th or after September 16th. And it'll be in the shared parking lot on the west side of the building, the shared parking lot with Indigenous Peoples Task Force.
Wow, there's a lot going on. Wow, yes. Who's going to be in the concert?
What's that?
Who's going to be playing in the concert?
Oh, that is Mbaji is taking the lead on it. She's our traditional birthing director, but she has a cool lineup. I also think Esther Humphrey may be coming down too. Love her voice.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so, yeah, she came out to Bismarck one time when Auntie Deb was in town and things. And so that was a beautiful event. So yeah, we have a lot of exciting things happening. And I know they're working on a list of performers and artists locally. So it'll be a good time. We also want to still circle back and see if we can host like a community bingo event or and also Leah, she has some famous wild rice egg rolls and tacos. So we're trying to get her to, you know, get that on the schedule.
Well, I want to make sure that I make it there when you do the, what was it? The cake walk you did.
Oh yeah. That was fun. we were
talking.
Yeah, we were talking about musical chairs too, but they said that gets too competitive. And
yeah.
The Metro Urban Indian Directors Group, they said they used to host kickball in the past, but it got too competitive too. But we have our amazing staff are tabling at the Little Earths event that's happening right now. There's barbecue and food and booths. It's the annual event that takes place. Is it Take Back the Night event? Mm-hmm. And so that Little Earth right now. So our staff are there at the booths.
That's awesome. Wow, I just feel like there's so much going on with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we always talk about all the great services, but it sounds like there's a lot of fun too going on. And if you got them, you know, the old saying is, if you got them laughing and having fun, you have their attention. So that's just really awesome.
We have an amazing staff and amazing community, and it's a good time, and they're doing so much, and we are, you know, going after different funding, traditional funding streams and other funding streams too. So just working hard diligently to make sure we keep the doors open seven generations ahead and beyond. So with that, I'll put a plug in for our donate tab, miwrc.org/donate. Please donate if you can. Help us continue to help others. But yes, our staff do amazing work day in and day out. And
it's just great to have you in community and hear these updates. And it's just an organization that's been around that long. Coming up on 40 years. Geez, I mean, I was 23 when that started, so that's amazing. Either that, it's amazing I'm that old, but it's also amazing that the organization's been around that long, and that really tells a story right there.
It really does. I mean, I think of how many people the organization, the agency, has impacted locally, regionally, nationally. Many people have shared with us that, you know, in everybody's family in one way or another has connections to this place, whether their parents, their mom used to work here, whether they were a child here attending childcare or daycare, or just a lot of stories that people share. And we're hoping to bring everybody together so that they can share those stories all the time, but also a special platform to share all of those amazing, beautiful stories on September 16th, our 40th anniversary. I'll share a quick story real quick.
My heart would start.
That when I worked at DIW years ago at the Youth Leadership Development Program, I remember we gave one of my friend's relatives a ride over to MIWRC and wasn't really familiar at the time. And I remember this lady came out and greeted my friend's relative that we gave a ride to. But she didn't stop there. She came over, the MIWRC worker, greeted the relative and then came over to my car and introduced herself and was like, "Oh, how are you guys doing?" And, you know, it was just really personable and made a connection with us and very, very warm and loving. This beautiful, tall Native woman, big smile, brown skin, just looked like an auntie. And here it turns out years later, we got to work together at United Tribes Technical College. And we're from the same tribal nation. And then our paths crossed years later too, with different kind of work, you know, and supporting the community. So pretty cool story. I always hold near to my heart.
Very cool story. And, you know, our community is small and strong and that's a great story. Well, one of the things that I have here in my notes, and there's women's luncheon dates coming up. Can you talk about that for August?
Yes, August 8th and the 22nd for this month, but we want to do that twice a month moving forward, and it's a time for women to come together, share a meal. Eventually, we want to feature a guest speaker, but it's just a time to come together and support one another. So the first women's luncheon will be hosted or held this Thursday, August 8th, in the community room. At 11:30.
Oh, okay. So, wow, Haley can stop at Four Sisters and walk on over there and hang out.
Yeah, Thursdays are going to be fun, extra fun now.
Yeah, for sure. And then the sweat, I know we were going to have a women's sweat last week, but it got too hot. The weather was really hot. And so we switched gears and hosted a ceremony in-house here at MIWRC. These ceremonies are open to the public. For more information, please reach out to Umbaji or George. And the sweat lodge, the sweat that's going to be hosted at the end of this month, August 30th, that is a co-ed sweat. But yes, please reach out to Umbaji and George. It's pretty amazing. You know, when I first got here at MIWRC March 4th, that first week I was really embraced with so many ceremonies, you know, that was a little, no offense, Abe, but that was a little surprising being in the urban setting for me. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Cedar ceremony. And then later that week, women's sweat, you know, pretty thankful.
Yeah, it is amazing. We are blessed to live in a really nice community here where I heard up to 78,000 natives live in the Twin Cities just recently. And over 150 different nations are here in the Twin Cities. And that's exciting. And the work that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does for our people is just amazing.
Matsigidads. Yes, for sure. Just working diligently to support the good work from previous decades and move forward seven generations ahead and beyond.
Ruth, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what's happening with your organization. We always appreciate the updates, and have a great day. And we all got a smile on our face today.
Thank you. You guys too. See you.
Right on. That was Ruth Buffalo. Hey, who do we have up next there, Haley?
Hey, we're going to be joined by Witchy Twitchy, who is a content creator on Instagram, and their name is Sarah. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
One day after President Biden issued a joint statement calling on ceasefire talks between Israel and Hamas to resume, the Israeli military struck a school in Gaza City, and the Hamas-controlled Gaza government says at least 85 people were killed. Israel says Hamas was operating a command center from the school and that it used precision munitions, but ABC's Tom Sufi Burge in Tel Aviv says...
This morning, Egypt reacting to the attack on that school, accusing Israel of the, quote, deliberate killing of huge numbers of unarmed civilians, saying it was evidence of a lack of political will on the Israeli side to end the war.
Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning in Arizona called for a ceasefire. She and running mate Tim Walz will be in Nevada today. Former President Trump was in Montana last night. Debbie and its remnants have finally left the U.S., but the final blow, flash flooding in New York State caused by heavy rain. There are more than 40,000 power outages in the state. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Willie Adames comes through again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Reds last night, 8-3 in Milwaukee, thanks to shortstop Willie Adames coming up with a three-run homer in the bottom of the first inning. Adames has hit a home run in the last four games and was asked about his goal to play in every game this season for the Brewers.
I mean, I work hard during the offseason. I prepare myself to try to play every day.
NFL, the Packers play the Browns in Cleveland this afternoon. Seventh-round pick Michael Pratt, quarterback out of Tulane, will get plenty of snaps in the game and says he will dedicate his performance to his older brother David, who passed away last summer.
My big brother David, he was definitely the biggest fan, and I know he'll be watching. You know, just having the family there and, you know, getting to celebrate his life and celebrate, you know, what he loved to watch, which was my sister and I playing sports. So definitely means a lot to me. Definitely excited to have that opportunity and, you know that he's watching.
That's Packers rookie quarterback Michael Pratt with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 70s, mostly clear, low 50s tonight. Sunshine, 76 for your Sunday. For Sunday night, partly cloudy, a low around 55. Partly sunny, back to the upper 70s on Monday and near 80 on Tuesday.
Currently, 50 degrees.
I know I'm ready to start my opioids recovery journey because I've got courage, support, and meds. Yeah, meds. See, opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, kind of like heart disease or diabetes. And now, there are effective meds out there that work to curb the cravings. And, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I found out that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Learn how medications can help you, too, at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Save big money on your next painting project. Menards carries Purdy paintbrushes, roller covers, trays, and paint kits to help you get the job done right. Purdy brushes are handcrafted in the USA and are the number one brand preferred by professionals. Save big on Purdy painting tools at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. For J.D. Power 2024 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Save big money at
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack about Project 2025's impact on the U.S. military and the state of education in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And before our guest comes on, I don't know what to talk about, Haley.
Oh, hey, I got something for you. Let's talk about Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and why he is, you know, the chef's kiss pick for Native Americans here. So Tim picked White Earth Nation citizen Peggy Flanagan as his lieutenant governor. He also, his first job, right, he was an educator, he was a teacher. He actually taught on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation.
Yeah. Yes. That's amazing.
Yes, and he was the first governor to visit all 11 Minnesota tribes, and he opened a Minnesota State Tribal Relations and MMIP, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Peoples offices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those are just a few things.
Exactly. You know, again, I heard this morning, and I was really, I was in shock because I wasn't believing my lying eyes when it came to it looked like, you know, that video I showed you, somebody sent to me of the governor, where the governor's staying now on Mississippi River Boulevard, where I do my morning walk every morning. And to see that they had all these Secret Service there, and I was like, could this really be happening? Or do they have enough money where they're doing this all over the country just so people don't know? I mean, I don't know what the heck's going on. Right.
Well, that would be a very, yeah, a big, big surprise thing. But yeah, it felt a lot like Christmas morning here. It was kind of like hearing the past week, whether he's still kind of the top three to be picked.
Yeah.
And I'm excited, but I'm also like, it's kind of the story that's too good to be true, you know?
But yeah. Well, and again, you know, we happen to know the governor pretty well and the lieutenant governor here. So we were like, I was just like, you know, and he brings both sides to the table. You know, he won the election by a lot, the last two elections here in Minnesota. And so when you win by a lot, and I know that's not a number, but I like that word, a lot, you have to bring both sides to vote for you. And that's what he was able to do, is bring in that, you know, he defeated a Republican in an all purple city of Mankato down there by 5 points and as a congressman, and just kept on going on. And I, you know, one of the things I want to say too, with the murder of George Floyd, there were so many people from all over the country and all over the five state area coming in and raising heck here and burning this town down. And he gets some wrongfully slack for that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the National Guard was brought in. It's not like he just sat there and didn't do anything the whole time. That was a really troubling time for not only our state and city of Minneapolis, but I think just the whole country. And yeah, you have to take into account that the protesters during the George Floyd back in 2020, it wasn't all Minnesota residents. And truly, you have to believe it was, you know, unmarked trucks taking off license plates coming in from out of town and raising heck.
Before we get our guest on here, I just got to say this. It's just like, it's a very weird situation here. I talk to people that are on the outstate and they're afraid to come into Minneapolis. And yeah. I just laugh because it's like, who are you listening to? What are you talking about?
Right.
We love it here in the Twin Cities and, you know, the seven county area. There's stuff happening for sure, but there's a lot of people living here, you know, within, you know, the two cities. There's, you know, almost 400,000 in Minneapolis and 300,000 in St. Paul. That's close to a lot of people with my calculations.
Yeah, there's also a lot more good that is happening here over the bad. And speaking of weird, I think we should bring our guest on to talk about this next topic. We're here right now with Sarah Tapaha of the Navajo Nation. They are a Native content creator known on Instagram as Witchy Twitchy. They are not a witch. I would just like to go ahead and say that. But they have over 37,000 followers. And, you know, Sarah just really really puts out great content for Indian Country. And they are here today to discuss the illegal transportation of radioactive uranium ore by Energy Fuels, Inc., that drove through the land of Navajo Nation. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Hello, hello. Yat eshik edo shudna esha e sera yanishe ta bahanishle balagana bashishchin na kai dashiche balagana dashinale. My name is Sarah. I am Water's Edge. I am a guest on the homelands of the Cherokee tribe here in Tennessee, but my family is from the Newcomb area in New Mexico.
Hey, welcome. And, you know, Haley booked you, and because Haley's hip, and I'm old, and so I'm not as hip as Haley, but I want to welcome you. And it's really a bizarre to think about this, because in the 80s, we had the whole no nukes thing going on, you know, with John Trudell and all these great artists. And now we're talking about uranium again.
Yeah, I mean, this fight has been going on for decades. I mean, the history of the uranium in the Southwest, not just with the Navajo Nation, but countless tribes, is a fight that has been going on for generations, unfortunately. Yeah, and sometimes it is a bit frustrating to see that it's still happening. No matter how much we talk about it, it feels like we're backsliding. Because at least before, for several years, you know, we weren't having to worry about any uranium mining near tribal lands in the Southwest. And now this one has started up again.
Yeah, it's very sad, and it's great that you're here to amplify this. We have a lot of people listening to us right now, and we're on 30 stations across the five-state area here in Minnesota, Illinois, and the Dakotas, and even Iowa. We don't like to talk a bunch about Iowa, but even Iowa. Let's talk about the July 30th. There was illegal transportation of radioactive uranium ore by this place called, or this business called, Energy Fuels, Inc., and drove through the land of Navajo Nation, and I imagine without letting anybody know.
Right. So this company called Energy Fuels, Inc., they are actually registered in Canada. So they are a Canadian company, but their headquarters is in Denver, Colorado. And they actually have multiple uranium projects, whether it's mines or mills, in multiple states. I know that there's one in Wyoming, a little south of Wind River Reservation. They have several in the Southwest, but currently the one that we're talking about is the Pinon Plains Mine, which is about 6 miles south of the Grand Canyon. And they also own and run the uranium mill in Utah that they will be transporting. So the route goes from just south of the Grand Canyon. It goes down to Flagstaff, up through Tuba City, Kayenta, and then the mill itself is up in Blanding, Utah. And the mine itself, Pinon Plains Mine, actually sits above an aquifer that feeds into the Colorado River. So this is not just an issue of tribal sovereignty as far as transporting illegal substances across Native lands. This is also an issue of protecting our water for everyone who relies on the Colorado River.
Well, we always, and I don't know if you know this about Native Roots Radio, we started 8 years ago because of all the misinformation that was happening in Standing Rock. And so what I'd like from you is a call to action. How can our listeners support your work, not only your work, but also support and get out the word of what's happening? How can we get a hold of you? And I know you have a big following, and let's talk about that and let our listeners know how we can support this.
So what I try to do is I just try and collect information about issues that are going on, and then I just try and condense it into video format and talk about it. And then I like to boost the people who are boots on the ground. So right now in Navajo Nation, obviously you can follow, there are several different Diné activists who have been in this fight so much. I mean, before I was born, you have had people who are fighting against the uranium mining, trying to get the uranium mines cleaned up. But so right now, one of the best organizations I think to follow is Hall_No on Instagram. So this organization was founded by the late Klee Banali, who was one of the biggest defenders of Navajo Nation against this Pinon Plains mine. I would even say that probably was their the biggest thorn in their side. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they decided to finally start activity soon after his death. So Hall_No is a good source of information for protests and updates on the mine. I know that Navajo Nation Council and Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin are also releasing updates and statements on this mine. But I think that the best way is probably to check Hall underscore no, because they are organizing a lot of the protests. There are other groups, other activists on their own in the Southwest who are organizing as well. But I think Hall No is the best because they'll share other people's protests on their stories and updates like that.
Well, and also too, you are a conductor of all this information too. So how can people follow you? And I know Haley brought up that, but that's give that a shout out too, so people can follow your content. And I know you're amplifying all these people and all these organizations too.
Yeah. I like to reshare any flyers that I see of upcoming protests and stuff. So on Instagram, you can find me at Witchy Twitchy, all one word. I'm not a witch. I just like Halloween. And then on TikTok, I'm Witchy Twitchy TV, as in television, all one word. I'll be sure to post any major updates. Currently, I'm working on a video digging into this company, Energy Fuels Inc., like I said, trying to figure out what other projects they're working on their board of directors and things like that. So that's some upcoming information I'll have available.
Well, people don't know, and especially when we went through COVID, how a little bit about the Navajo Nation. And I know we've had where the Navajo Nation doesn't have running water, and that was really hard for COVID and to be protected from that. And there's these things that, sometimes Navajo Nation's treated like a third world country.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we are already dealing with a water crisis, and the uranium mining issue in the Southwest plays a big part of that. The 500 plus uranium mines that were left abandoned and opened to poison our groundwater definitely played a part. And also our tribe being left out of the Colorado River Compact. So we are still struggling today with our water rights and our water crisis as well.
Well, Witchy Twitchy, can you stay with us for another segment here?
Yeah, sure thing.
I just wanted to say Witchy Twitchy again. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Haley,
stay with us.
Right on.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter? Then tune to your local civic media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local civic media radio station and streaming on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
The moment I walked out of the auditorium, I said, it's our time now. It's the little girls that look like me who wake up with brown skin and sometimes wonder, do they matter? To have someone like Kamala, who is not only qualified, but representative of voices that have been ignored for far too long, it felt like all things are possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. We're here with the Instagram famous Witchy Twitchy, also goes by Sarah, and we're talking about the uranium transportation on Navajo Nation. Thank you, Sarah, for being here.
Yes, thank you so much. We'll have to get you on. You have the whole setup there and you sound great. We'll have to get you on every other week here and promote your your TikTok and tell us what's going on there, because we do have a big national audience, listening audience too. So we really appreciate your information and this was brought up to by Haley, my chujunk, which means niece and producer, and so it wasn't on my radar, so I'm really grateful to have you on.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. I mean, yeah, I'm happy to come back. I can yap about important stuff all day long. So, but yeah, no, I was really excited whenever she reached out to me and invited me on, because yeah, I don't think people realize how this has the potential, depending on how it goes, to escalate to Standing Rock protest levels, because this does involve multiple tribes in the Southwest. And because the Navajo Nation president has issued, intends to blockade any trucks that attempt to come through Navajo Nation. So Energy Fuels Inc. plans to send 6 to 8 trucks full of uranium ore per day. And that was the plan. And on the 30th, they were supposed to give notification whenever they were going to start hauling uranium, particularly to the office of the Navajo Nation president. And they gave about 30 minutes notice, which was a direct disregard for tribal sovereignty. And on top of that, in 2012, Navajo Nation actually voted to ban the transport of uranium on our on Navajo Nation land, period. So this was not only transporting an illegal substance across tribal lands, this is also just a disregard for any kind of notification. And so the Navajo Nation president has stated that he intends to block any trucks that try and come onto Navajo Nation. And we all know what happens whenever Native tribes here in the US and Canada try and assert any type of sovereignty to protect our lands. We see how it always escalates. And the mm-hmm. things that happen. I mean, look at the Oka crisis, look at Standing Rock. And so if things go the way that they have in the past, this has the potential to escalate. And I think that I just want more people to know about it, because this impacts not just Navajo Nation, not just Hopi Nation, but all tribes in the Southwest, as well as tribes who are near their other uranium mining projects as well.
Well, and again, you mentioned Standing Rock, too, and it seems to me that, and even back in the 80s with the no nukes, and they bring in the militarized police from all over the country to beat up on Indians, and nothing's changed. So this update's really important to us to hear all over here in the Midwest, because, you know, we're all excited that it's finally nice out and quit raining up here. You know, yeah. I mean, it's with the global warming and all these things that are happening that we deal with, but we have to stay united, all the tribes and all the indigenous people of Turtle Island need to really know what's going on and support our family and our brothers and our sisters.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, solidarity. I mean, I think that because how homogenized our oppression has become, what hurts one of us hurts all of us. And I think that most of us understand that. And so anytime that one nation is struggling, the rest of us will show up. And so I think that's not really a concern. I know that people will show up. It's just the concern of trying to get the information out there. So I was really thankful to be invited on this show. Thank you.
Yeah, well, and thank Haley too, our producer, because I think we could really, if you had the capacity, could get some weekly updates and things like that, and get you on the calendar, as they say.
Yeah, it's really important, you know, as Indigenous people up here in the Northern Plains area and around the Great Lakes, it's hard to not only just get sucked in with news and things that are going on around here and around the Twin Cities. But it's also important that when we do hear important news, you know, coming from other tribal nations from around Turtle Island that are, you know, further from us in the Midwest, it's important that we help amplify that and we do come together, because really at the end of the day, we're all the same people, all the same sovereign people fighting against the same things, and we want the same things. And it's not just for us that we want these for us as tribal people, but this is for everyone that lives here, you know, in the United States. We just want the best for everyone, the best water, the best food. It's really just a help everyone kind of mentality.
Yeah, absolutely. So Navajo Nation isn't the only nation that struggles with the effects of the uranium mining industry. I know that it also affects the Black Hills area, Lakota Nation. I know that in Alaska, there's communities that are affected by it as well. So, even just the first video that I posted about it, you could tell that people, didn't matter what nation they were from, were so happy to try and find ways to help. Like, how can I help? Is there a protest? What's going on? And I think that's something that's so beautiful about the Native community, is that even if we're from nations that were traditionally, you know, didn't get along, now we understand how important it is to stand together. I hope that we can continue to do so, because we are so much stronger together. And I think that the important part that really matters the most is just trying to get the information out there, because if we can all know more about what's going on, what major issues like this are facing Indian country, we can more effectively be there for each other.
Absolutely. And, it'd be great, too, if you use this content on your Twitter. That'd be cool. You could just chop it up and make me sound coherent. I'd appreciate it.
You sound great.
Well, thank Haley, our producer.
Hey, how can people follow you? Let's get your username out and get some more followers so we can stay up to date with these important topics.
So on my Instagram, you can find me at Witchy Twitchy, all one word. And then on TikTok, I'm Witchy Twitchy TV, like television, all one word. Currently, like I said, I'm working on some videos diving more into the company Energy Fuels Inc. that's behind these mining projects. And I also have a video coming up that's really important about the 17-year-old Apache boy named Elijah Hadley that was recently murdered by police. Mm-hmm. He was shot 19 times while unarmed. And he really needs justice. And so I'll be releasing a video about that soon. It's one of the things that is really weighing on my heart. So yeah, if you follow me, you can keep an eye out for those upcoming videos.
I just have a technical question about which format are we on? Instagram and what's the other format you're on?
Oh, TikTok?
Oh yeah, TikTok. So how long Do you do the whole 3 minutes, or do you do a minute and a half? What's the best length for you to get the word across and get a lot of likes and hits?
Most of my videos are about anywhere from a minute to a minute and a half. I feel like that's long enough to get as much information as I can without losing people's attention span. But I also talk pretty fast, so I can cram a lot of information into a minute and a half.
That's awesome. And what's your background? Did you go to school for this, or are you just one of those cool kids that just figured it out?
No, I didn't go to school for it. I think during the pandemic, I think that because, you know, Indigenous people, we are community-based. And I think that when a lot of us were separated, you know, having to quarantine and isolate, I think a lot of us turned to social media for community. And I think that played a big part in my time I spend on social media now. And also, I'm in Tennessee. I'm away from Navajo Nation. I can't physically be on the ground to help as much as I'd like. So the way that I do try and contribute and help my people is make videos and do what I can. I can use the tools that I have and the skills that I have to try and help from here.
Well, we were here with Witchy Twitchy, and we really, really appreciate you stopping in. We really love to get some more updates. Big Peeny Geegee, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks again for having me.
We'll do this again. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, or run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Tichwaba.
I'm on vacation this week, so for tonight's episode, we will bring you some of my favorite moments from previous Nightlight episodes. I'll be back and ready to light it up again on August 19th.
Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings, and when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former President Donald Trump campaigned Friday in Montana while Vice President Kamala Harris was in Arizona. She responded to pro-Palestinian demonstrators.
I have been clear. Now is the time to get a ceasefire deal and get the hostage deal done.
Meanwhile, the Hamas-controlled government in Gaza says at least 85 people were killed by an Israeli strike on a Gaza City school.